presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. I know that God is good and He is on the throne. Aren't you thankful that He is our provider? And so we thank you for tuning in. We do want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric right here in Rockledge, Florida, 632-9538. If they can be a blessing to you anywhere throughout the county, their reach is probably the largest of any of the sponsors that we mention here on the radio, 632-9538. The one thing that I do always say or try to say about them is make sure that you have the correct number there. There's some stickers with some older numbers that does not get you to the right people. This is the new number, 632-9538. That gets you to Dennis and Carla. And that's the family that's had that business for quite some time. And so they can get you up and running, whether it's working on your electric or your AC. You want to make sure that you can trust the people who are working on your equipment. So 632-9538, give them a call, and it will be a blessing to you. We do want to take just the next couple of days to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God this weekend. We are celebrating our 64th anniversary as a church and really looking forward to what God is doing. We're going to be having our board meeting this weekend, going to be sharing some things with them and praying and believing that God is going to send some increase. Just a couple of things we're praying for. We're praying that God would increase our church, our finances, to the point that we would be able to bring on our youth pastor on a full-time basis. That would be quite a stretch. But you know, when you think of the small amount of money that is required to that versus the great deal of money that God has at his disposal, it is not much of a leap at all. We're also looking at ways of expanding our outreach, which those two might be inverted. But if we expand our outreach, we're going to need our youth and children's ministry to be a great deal more available. And so those are some exciting things that are going on with us, and we're looking forward. We were notified here a couple of weeks ago by our national office that our church ranked 118th out of the nation last year in per capita giving, missions giving. 118th, there's about between 12 and 13,000, almost 13,000 Assembly of God churches, and our missions giving had us ranked at 118th. And we give all the glory to God. We are thankful for lives that are transformed as a result of all of that giving. So we don't want to be one who sows sparingly, because we want to reap bountifully. And we know that our God is Lord of the harvest. So I want to take you back today to Isaiah chapter 11, touch on some things that we've been on before. And chapter 11, verse number 1 says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, And with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And that's where we're going to end the reading now, because we won't get beyond that point today. So we'd talked about on yesterday's broadcast, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. You know, one of the greatest needs that people have in their life is for people to understand them. And that is more than just a knowledge of the facts. That is an understanding of what is going on in their life, what their needs are, and how to meet those needs. And there's a book by Dr. Stephen Chapman. I think that's his name. But all of a sudden I can't remember if that's the right last name or not, but he talks about the five different love languages. And, you know, everybody has a way that they need, or that they understand that love is being shown to them. And so I challenge people to explore, to discover and find out what the various people in their life, what their love language is. For some, it is just sitting there and listening. For some, it is helping them in their load, the load of responsibility that they carry. And so for some, it's touch. For some, it's affirmation. And, you know, it's something that we need to focus on, because we need to understand the people that we're ministering to. Like I said on yesterday's program, Jesus understood the people that he was ministering to. He knew what was going on in their life. He knew what was going on in their hearts. He had a greater understanding than what the Pharisees had. The Pharisees just kept spouting off truth. They spouted off the requirements, the traditions, all of that, but they did not understand the people that they were ministering to. Actually, there were times when, you know, Jesus told about the man who was beaten and left at the side of the road for dying, and the religious establishment walked on the other side of the road so that they did not have to interact with the wounded and the bleeding and the dying. That meant responsibility. And so they walked on the other side because it was going to be inconvenient. We are not here just to spout off verbal requirements or things like that. We are here to understand what is going on. And it is the other thing I want to point out about these things that we're talking about in Isaiah chapter 11 here is that these are spiritual in nature. When a lot of times when we think of wisdom and understanding and counsel, we are thinking of things that normally involve intellect. The scripture says that the word of God is spirit and it is spiritually discerned. And where a lot of people make their mistake in approaching the word of God is approaching it intellectually first and hoping that there's something spiritual that takes place. You know, somebody once described the business that they were talking about as a bait and switch operation. He said, we can't be a bait and switch operation the way that retailers used to invite you in for this one deal. And all of a sudden you'd get there when the doors are open and they only had one for the entire store. And once that was gone, then they would try and switch you into a more expensive product. If we try to appeal to people on the lowest common denominator with the hopes of ministering to their spirit, it's not going to end well. We do need to meet felt needs. There are a lot of emphasis in some churches on the social gospel, the, you know, just exclusively meeting the physical, the tangible needs. Now, we are very active in meeting people's physical needs. Last year our project was Ukraine. We are right now in the middle of a process for the Alternative Pregnancy Center. We had a fundraiser for them last year that we participated in as well. We have helped single moms in our congregation with some of their utility bills and things like that. We meet felt needs, but we do that with the mindset of how can we minister to you spiritually as well. Right now, society wants us to be about meeting physical needs without equipping with the greatest of truths, and that is that Jesus Christ loves you, wants a relationship with you, and wants to journey through life with you. And so we can't have one without the other. You know, the New Testament says, I will show you my faith by my works. There are tangible needs. It also says that we cannot just say that we love our brother without meeting that need that he has in his life. And so we have policies that we follow at Merit Assembly of God to help people to the best of our ability. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that just comes cold calling at the door that we're going to help, because that we are interested in building relationships. We don't give out cash. We never give out cash. That just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got the scars, got the wounds. We don't do that. We will meet people's needs where they're at. So it talks about understanding. And so we understand that we approach these situations from a spiritual nature first. This is a messianic prophecy. And it said that when Jesus would come, this branch, this rod, that he was going to operate with a spirit of understanding. You know, sometimes you can know the facts, you can have wisdom in how to handle a situation, but if you don't understand all of the details, you can left bewildered as to what was something, how something was going on. There was a situation one time where a person called me on the phone, a person that had a pretty close relationship with. There wasn't any hostility or anything in there. And all of a sudden, just boom, one day out of the blue, I got a phone call, and it was to let me know that they were making a transition in their life, and I was bewildered. Now I knew certain details that were going on in their life. I knew some of the challenges, but it wasn't until a couple of years after the fact that God gave me a spirit of understanding of things that hadn't been disclosed. I don't know if you've noticed this, but people do not always open up and tell you all of the details that are going on. And so when God spoke that to me, it was a little while later, I had the opportunity to confirm what God had spoken to my spirit. And when I gained that spirit of understanding, when the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart things that that he knew that I didn't know, all of a sudden I understood the situation. And if I'd had that understanding earlier in the process, my reaction wouldn't have been nearly as bewildering to me as it was then. It would have been a lot more empathetic, if you will. It would have been a lot more understanding. It was like, oh, that is a perfectly logical reason to make that decision. And so I encourage you that if you are bewildered or confused about a situation, God's not the author of confusion. Pray, ask him to give you understanding, because God knows what is going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in other people's hearts. He can help you to understand the situation. It also talks about here in verse number 2 about the spirit of counsel, the spirit of counsel. Please don't lean on your own understanding. Please don't do that. Don't lean on inexperienced understanding. Don't surround yourself with people who will just tell you what you want to hear. Surround yourself with people who have greater spiritual counsel than you do. If I had my way as a leader, as a pastor of a church, I would want to make sure that I was I'd want to make sure that there were people who were smarter in their arena of ministry than I am, that understand how to minister, that they have a calling upon them that reaches down into the depths of their spirit. And I would have that in every area of my life, to where I would want them, I would want to recognize their spiritual anointing while them at the same time recognizing my spiritual anointing. The Bible still says that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety and there is wisdom. And so you and I, we want to surround ourselves with people who are going to counsel us from a spiritual perspective, because you can counsel out of your experience. You can counsel out of your emotions. You can counsel out of your relationship. You can counsel out of stories that you've heard from others. But God is looking for us to have the Holy Spirit in our life, so that He provides us spiritual counsel. Spiritual counsel. What would happen if we really took Matthew 6:33 and said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you"? What would our reality look like if that was the way that we approached it? So the spirit of counsel. Let me go back to the spirit of understanding just a second. I want to take you back to First Chronicles. I preached a series of sermons one time. Now, I did it on Wednesday night, and I didn't do it on Sunday morning, and everybody said, "Thank the Lord." But I preached from these genealogies and things like that to help people understand the mighty men that David had in his life, and the dysfunctional backgrounds that people had before they were called and received divine placement in the earthly genealogy of Jesus. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 32, it is talking about people who came to David when he was at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him the way that God had promised. And in verse number 32, it says, "Of the sons of Issachar, they were men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do." The thing that makes this distinction of the people of Issachar was it talks about these other tribes, and they sent thousands. They sent thousands. And when it comes to Issachar, it only mentions that there were 200 of them, and all their brethren were at their command. So there were 200 of these men of Issachar that came, and they it says that they had an understanding of the times. They have an understanding of the times. I don't know about you, but I need God to help me to understand. This was a transitional point for the nation of Israel. This was transitioning from part of the tribes being under Saul's son and part of the tribes being under David's authority. And it was about fulfilling the word of the Lord. And Saul's son had been murdered. And it says here that these 200 men from Issachar, they had understanding of the times. It doesn't stop there, but it said to know what Israel ought to do. To know what Israel ought to do. Can I tell you that if you're out there and you're trying to manage the whole world, you're going to be a very frustrated and angry individual? Joyce Meyer talks about how that was her mindset at one point in time. And it took divine revelation for her before she realized that the world wasn't going to operate the way that she wanted it. That It's supposed to operate the way that God wants it. And as long as we're trying to do the Holy Spirit's job, we're going to be running interference for the Holy Spirit. He's wanting to minister, and we keep muddling up the process. So what we need is we need people who are in a relationship with God to such an extent that we pray, we go, and we hear from God. We understand the times, because God fully understands the times. Do you realize that it said that Jesus was born when the fullness of time had come? When the fullness of time had come. It was just the right time, at just the right place, with just the right people, because God understood what was going on. For 450 years, there hadn't been a prophetic voice in Israel except for John the Baptist. And God understands the time. If he understood those times, he understands our times. He understands the hurts, the oppression. He understands the past and the insecurities. He understands. But then listen, understanding is not just empathy, where we just stand there and hold our arms open wide and pat one another on the back and console one another into depression. But instead, it said their understanding was of such a nature that they knew what Israel ought to do. When you understand the times, when God has given you and I the spirit of understanding concerning our times, we will also know what the responsibilities of our actions are. What do we have to do? Listen, God is not up there wringing his hands today. He's not up there, pacing back and forth, wondering what is going to be the outcome of all this. The scripture says that he knows the end from the beginning. He knows the beginning. See, a lot of times we know the beginning and we know the steps that we're at, but we don't take into consideration what the end of that is going to be. So I would like to encourage you to ask God to give you the spirit of understanding so that you know what you're supposed to do, that you know what the end result is, what the goal is, and then say, God, how do I get there? How do I get there? I was opening up an email just the other day, and it said, we would like to help give you this blueprint of bite-sized steps to take over the next period of time to help you to achieve this certain goal. And I want you to know God wants to do that. Now we would like for it to be one giant leap for mankind. We'd like it to be a one-step process. But something I came to the conclusion a long time ago is God is really looking to go on a journey with us. A couple of years ago, my wife just blew me out of the water, because my wife is not a big road trip person. She doesn't like taking road trips very much, but she said, you know, I wouldn't mind traveling around the country with you. It didn't mean that, we were looking to, get out of pastoring or anything like that. She was talking about traveling the country and seeing things that we hadn't seen while on vacation and doing it in a recreational vehicle. And I kind of looked at her and said, who are you and what have you done with my wife? That's where we were, because it's like the person that I know doesn't like to take road trips. And so, to be quite honest with you, I've got that in mind. It doesn't mean that we're going to be doing that this summer or next summer, but we're looking at step by step, should the opportunity avail itself, when we retire or cease to be in full-time ministry, because let's face it, I'm not ever going to completely and totally get out of ministry. My hats might change and things like that, but I'm still going to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ until my last breath. But at some point in time, I'm looking forward, because you want to know something? One of the reasons that I married my wife is because I liked spending time with her. And so I'm kind of excited that after, you know, over three decades of being married, she still wants to hang out with me. I think that's pretty exciting. And so, you know, we're looking for that counsel. Okay, how do we get to the place where God can use us to be a blessing to people around the globe? And how do we get there? How do we get to the next step? What is the next step? What is your next step spiritually? Because God has a next step for you. He has a next, and you know, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, you have a transition that is coming. I was in a conversation with someone last week, and they said, you know, they're older than I am, having a conversation with them. And they said, you know, looking back in our rearview mirror, we think that when we were in our 50s, that was our hardest decade. And it's like, you know, when I heard that, it really wasn't what I wanted to hear, because quite frankly, I was looking forward to this stage being a little bit easier. But I know that it's every stage has its challenges. But with me in my 50s, I know that there are going to be challenges in my 60s. So there's a next step that is coming. And I want God to help me to prepare to know what that is. Here, the last thing we'll talk about is the spirit of might, the spirit of might. You and I, we serve an almighty God, and there should be spiritual power. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You have spiritual power. Don't let the devil convince you that you are helpless for his every whim. That is a lie. He is a liar and the father of it. You have been entered into covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, and that doesn't just mean that all of his possessions are you are a joint heir with him, but it also means that you are availed of all of the power that God has as well. My strength doesn't come from me. It comes from my covenant relationship of walking with God. He's the strong one. He's the mighty one. He is the omnipotent one. And so whatever you are facing today, I just pray that the spirit of might will arise upon you, not your physical strength, because it is not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. God bless you. You have a wonderful Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.